Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you all today. We have an interesting passage for our gospel lesson, and just as the disciples were somewhat confused about what Jesus was getting at here, later interpreters of this passage have also been kind of confused. There are a couple different ways of reading what Jesus is talking about when he says, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. One way of reading this is that within the context of Jesus' ministry, here he's talking about his death and resurrection. And this is a way that's pretty natural and seems to make sense within the context of what's called the farewell discourse in John. And so here Jesus is sort of preparing his disciples to accept the fact that he's going to go away from them for a time after his death, but then come back in the resurrection. But then another way that this can be read is that Jesus is talking about his ascension and then return again. So it's the ascension is the first little while, and then after a little while, he's going to have the second coming. And I would suggest that we don't necessarily have to think of these as two mutually exclusive ways of reading the passage. They're not necessarily contradictory, but it could be two different ideas that John is sort of intending with this passage. They could both be implied by it. I think for the immediate context, it makes sense to think of the death and resurrection as the primary emphasis, but of course John's writing this after the ascension, and for us as Christians, we're reading this after the ascension, so it has this other resonance for us. And so I think if we look at both of these ways of reading this passage, it actually tells us a couple important things about the kind of joy that we're called to have as Christians. So with the first way of reading it, where Jesus is saying, in a little while I'm going to be crucified, and then a little while again I'll rise from the dead, and that's when your joy will come, that's when your sorrow will be turned into joy. One thing that that means is that for us living after the resurrection, the basis for our joy as Christians has already been accomplished. It's based on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, his defeat of sin and death and evil, the ushering in of the kingdom of God that we see in his ministry, and finally the beginning of God's new creation with the resurrection. And so this shows us something important about joy, because I think a lot of people can sort of misunderstand what this is and think that as Christians we're supposed to have this kind of pretense of always being happy all the time, that we can't really suffer or have pain or sorrow in our lives, that we have to just always sort of have this sort of fake happiness. And it can even make Christians seem a little annoying if we're just always happy all the time. But I think this shows us that our joy is something much deeper and steadier in our lives than just this kind of surface level feeling of happiness. It's based on the accomplished work of Christ in his death and resurrection. So even though we still go through things like pain and sorrow in our lives, and these are still real, even underlying that, there's still the truth of what Christ has accomplished and the fact that Christ is Lord. And so I think that's an important thing to keep in mind, that our joy is based on something that Christ has already done. I think the analogy that Jesus uses here in this passage is helpful, and it's especially interesting in light of what's been going on in the life of our parish recently, because Jesus uses the analogy of childbirth to talk about the joy that we have. And Deacon Gassiter and his wife Deanne just had their child Shima a little over a week ago. And so just as Darius and Deanne are, I'm sure, completely exhausted right now, especially Deanne, there still is this joy that they have with the birth of their child that doesn't change the fact that they're going through a difficult time without having very much sleep, but it also it sort of gives them this joy that's steadier and underlying the experience that they're going through in life. Even through the ups and downs and the twists and turns that we have in life, it still remains the case that Jesus is Lord. I think the second way that we can read this passage, though, also tells us something important about the nature of our joy as Christians. And so remember, the second way is to say that Christ is talking about his ascension and then going to be with the Father and then his return again. And so this means that we're still waiting for the fulfillment of our joy. And I think that's certainly true for us, that we still do have things in our life that aren't really in line with what God wants for us. And the world itself is still, as Paul says in Romans 8, sort of groaning with these labor pains, waiting for the redemption of the world. And so I think this shows us that we still do look forward to the culmination of our joy and the fullness of it that we'll get when Christ returns and when God's new creation is fully restored. And so I think today, as we reflect on this passage and think about what it means for us, we can see that we have this basis for joy in what Christ has already done, and so we should still rejoice in that, but also look forward to the fulfillment of our joy at his second coming. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.